The word there is the idea of having dominion. Jeremiah uses it to denote the priestly authority. The term can be used for masters having dominion over their slaves or supervisors or laborers. It's a picture. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what is this a picture of? It's a picture of man is made in the image of God, likeness of God. He's not a little God, but he is the closest thing to God on the earth. And he is representing a sovereign government, which is in heaven. God doesn't need a place to live, but he creates a place called heaven. Read it, Genesis 1. According to Psalm 11, he sets up his quarters in heaven. He puts man on the earth as an ambassador. Natural ambassador. What does a natural ambassador do? Where he goes, and where he... I remember last time I was in London, there was a... we took a tour, and on this fun bike tour, and they stopped this. Oh, that's the Canadian embassy. You cross over through that door on the outside. It actually was considered Canadian territory. And an ambassador operating correctly never gives their opinion on a subject. They are there representing the sovereign of their nation, the president of their nation, the interest of their nation. So if you said to the Canadian ambassador, what do you think about abortion? He would never say, well, I think, you know, you should do this. He said, the opinion of my nation is this. So that's what an ambassador does. It represents the sovereignty of the kingdom and represents it to the world. So now we see, I wanted to give that backdrop to, because I think you'll see this concept operating in Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Finally got there. I want to start, interesting enough, and then we'll read back through the story in verse 15. Because God, according to Isaiah 46:10, declares the end from the beginning. And I believe God would have us give us some insight into how he becomes, these guys become 10 times better than all the other guys. That's very interesting to me. It's very interesting to me that even in the Old Testament, and I encourage you to read, well, we'll read it in a minute. We'll read both of them just because I think it'll really emphasize the point that God's trying to make. But I like the fulfillment of great things in the earth. You should say amen to that. And often, people, even at a personal level, and I don't know if I said this here before, Pastor Ronnie, I've had the privilege of personally prophesying over at least thousands of people, churches, regions, nations, cities, 23 nations. I think every nation I've gone, I've at least delivered one national word. Had a privilege of working with a mayor in a particular city and different things. And though I have brought words that I believe invited them into repentance or correction, it's always redemptive with God. I've never talked to God even about a mistake I've made, and he goes, there's no hope. You're in trouble. But a lot of my words are, I believe, are faith-filled and call people into their potential. Janet, I've never told anyone, the Lord would say to you, mediocre is the goal. You can pay off the credit card debt, but you ain't never paying off your mortgage. Just keep the mortgage. God says you're good for mediocre. Mediocre does not exist in the Bible. Amen. It exists in America. So having said that, let me just put it this way. If the purpose of God for your life, you're like, I got it. It's just going to happen. Like, I can do it, you know, keep the savings account here, and then I'll eventually do it. I want to suggest you're probably living out of the will of God. Because if there's not a need for faith to trust him for things that you'll need in the future, You're living far below. You're living as an American, not as a biblical Christian. Not you, the person behind you. Or perhaps you've not really discovered the reason that you came to the earth. Wow. Because true purpose requires great faith. And I love Daniel's dream. Excuse me, I love Joseph's dream. And I love the things that Daniel does. We'll read here in a moment. He was better. He displayed himself better. But I believe that the Lord would have a seat in anatomy of how this thing took place. I love in Genesis 39, as I touch on it. Well, let's just read these two here. I keep saying I'm going to touch on it. But here's the end, or at least part of how this situation resolves itself. This is a good word. Verse 15, at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables and said, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kind. Verse 20, just to give an understanding of what's taking place here. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Amen. Now look at Genesis 39, just as another reference point to kind of an end point. Now he hasn't fully fulfilled this dream, but this is fascinating to me. This is one of my discipleship goals here. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Think about this. He is bought by another man. But his belief system is defining his life, not his situation. The enemy loves to define you by your challenge and by when it looks like there's no hope. He lived in a house of the master Egyptian. Catch this, verse 3. This is not a man who's a seer. This is a pagan man. This is not a man who's praying in the Holy Ghost, going, I think the God's on this young man. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, the Lord gave him success in everything he did. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar him in the charge of his household, and he entrusted him to his care and everything he owned. From that time, he put him in charge of the whole house of all that he owned, and the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Catch this. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in his house and the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. What's happening here? His image and his dream is causing another man to prosper. He is actually having dominion over his environment, but it is not in any way directly benefiting him. It's not like he's getting stock options in Potiphar's house. Part of learning to live in the blessing or receiving everything that God has for you is that your heart is dead set on your blessing being able to touch people. So now we see the end of the story. Now let's go to the beginning of the story. I just wanted to illustrate that. Back to Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem, besieged it. Now, this is really important. The only way he has access to besiege God's people is if the people of God are in idolatry. One of the things that they were in idolatry is that they failed to observe the Sabbath and the Jubilee year. They became the source of their own strength. They were American in that. So he cannot have access to them unless they were believing and acting incorrectly. So the reason I say that is, and this is possibly true, I know in my life There are things that happen in my life, still happening today, that are not the result of my own choices. They're the result of my grandfather's choices, my parents' choices. I received an inheritance of righteousness and ministry in the supernatural in my life. Now, I have a responsibility with what I'm going to do with it. So now the other side of that is, sometimes you might live in a bad spot because of the choices of other people. The good news is you can restart your lineage. But don't make yourself a victim to it. Then the king ordered Athena, chief of the king of the courts, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family nobility. Young men. Oh, I don't want to read it from that. I want to read a New King James. Because I like how he puts it here. Because I think he's no more than 12 years old. Most people think that. We don't know for sure. I don't want to make a statement. But I like thinking, because I like children of Israel and some of the king's descendants, some of the noble men, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking like Abner. It says that in my translation. It's a very limited translation, so you might not have it in your Bible. Very, very limited. Might be limited to my mind. Gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, who they might teach the language and litter of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them daily provision of the king's delicacy, of the wine which he drank, 3 years of training, so at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now for among those the son of Judah were Daniel, Hannah, Mishael, and Ezra. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hannah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and Ezra, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion. That's a key part of understanding what God would have us understand here. Notice the affection of his heart is defining how he's going to act, and then eventually defines the world that he lives in.
That's right.
His inward condition defines the world that he lives in. That's a big one. I'm still learning over the years. You know, I used to get mad at God. I said, come on, just between me and you, you don't like that person. Like, really? And I never had problems like with the down and out people. I love those people. It was those interesting believers. And then the Lord started telling me, the problem is you. And part of the reason you don't like them is you don't like yourself. And nobody can control you. This is years ago when he started teaching me this. So you talk to the Lord, you pour out your heart before him, he'll tell you exactly what the problem is. He'll analyze it in the Word of God. It's two-edged, right? It locates how stupid you are. No, really. It's just to get out there. He don't work. No, I don't mean that even funny. He works with you in your stupidity. You just have to be honest about your stupidity. Like some people are all like they don't really identify their feelings. It's something. No, I'm fine. And they're all messed up on the other. They're mad at the pastor. They're mad at their husband. I'm much better when people. I was like, let it out. Just let it out. Well, it's going to include you. Just let it out towards me too. He might hurt me, but at least we'll identify where you're at. That's also probably why you want to tell people, because you're afraid of what people think about you. That's another big one. Sometimes people think you're kind, and you just keep all that stuff inside, and you're boiling on the inside. That's a different subject. That's a more psychological thing, but there. He would not defile himself, a portion of the king's delicacy, nor with wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink. For why should you see your faces looking worse than the young men who are at that age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hannah, Mishael, and Ezra, "Please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies as you see fit. So deal with your servants." Excuse me. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away the portions of delicacies and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And then we covered the other side of the story. There is so much here. But let's focus on a few things. You'll see that when the if your heart is not making a daily choice to seek ye first the kingdom of God, you are a target for the enemy. Because your heart was not meant to have two different diets. Let's put it that way. That's why he says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of the life. The enemy does not come also just for a part of your life. He comes for total dominion over you. You'll see the enemy, this king, represents the Babylonian system, and what does he want to do? He wants to disciple them. He wants to teach them. He wants to teach them complete. He wants to totally renew their thinking according to the Babylonian system.
That's right.
And it doesn't happen overnight. That's why you really guard your heart every day. Every day, you're two or three choices away from not being so well. It's not to make you like weird. Oh, whatever. No, it's just to put a holy fear of the Lord in you. Every day you wake up, you have a responsibility. Every day you live with the sense of responsibility. And so the enemy's goal is total indoctrination, not just a part of their life. And you'll notice here that he does something else. He changes their name. He had 3 years of training. What does he want to do? He changes their name, redefines them. He wants to feed them in a certain way, and then he wants to educate them in a certain way. And at the source of it, what does this king want to do? He wants to convince them, reconvince them, I'm now your source. That's what the goal of the Babylonian system is. The enemy wants you to lean into his ways and thoughts in everything that you do. Now, there's some principles here of how Daniel reacted that's really, really interesting to me. First one is we notice that these young men have been brought in, they're God's best in that nation. They're young men, and they've come in there, and this young child says, I'm not going to do this. I will not eat of these delicacies, and I will not drink these things that have been put in front of me. How does he know not to do that? Family. There was someone, and this gives you another understanding. The majority of people who live in the high call, actually I'm going to say all people at this point, all people who live in the high call and fulfill God's purpose for their life, you will consistently go against the norms of even what believers are doing in the earth. Amen. As a whole of the nation is compromised. But there are still people in that nation who refuse to bow and taught their children the ways of God. So even, and this is why this is important, because other believers are not your model. I remember years ago, this young lady, we were talking about like speaking in tongues and praying in the spirit, and she said, well, my mom's a prayer warrior, and I'm sure she is, and she doesn't pray in tongues. I mean, she can pray. I said, your mom's not the model. I'm sure your mom's a kind lady. But your mom is not the model. So people, well, this person does this and I'm doing better than this. They're not the standard. Jesus, and the Word of God are your standard. And so what's happening here? There was a generational righteousness that Daniel and his companions stepped into. This moment does not just happen. This child was taught correctly in such a way. I want to tell you, he didn't just know the Word of God. He knew God as his source. He said, I will not do this. He knew God as his source. I want to suggest to you, we also know later from his life, he knew God intimately. He stepped into the stage of history, but it was birthed by a family unit. I've looked back on my life. Some of the most grounding principles that I learned were things that were modeled in front of me. They were, you know, there are many things I learned that I still practice to this day, and I thank God for it. That when I've tried to look, how did I learn how to do this? How did I take this posture? How did I take that posture? And many of the things I learned, my parents never actually sat down and told me to do it. They just modeled it in front of me, and as they modeled it in front of me, I received an impartation. I can tell you about giving. I remember. I can tell you as early back as I can remember. I love birthday parties because I still kind of like this. I like the cards with the numbers on them. You're 6 now. You're 7 on them. And the reason I like cards, B, is because they usually had money in it. I got to choose what to do with it. So my mom would go, oh, you have, I don't remember, but you got $50 for your birthday. Yes, Lord. They also opened a bank account for me at a very early age. And she goes, you got $50, and 10% of that belongs to the Lord. And she took it out already. It wasn't the Lord, it was my mom when it started. I might have struggled with despising the command of the Lord, but what was it teaching me? God is a giver. God is a giver. And then she went on. She didn't stop there. She said, what did she say? She said, now, there's people who leave everything. And she always emphasized America to go to Africa to preach the gospel. They leave everything. Do you want to help them? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I definitely want to help them. So that's your offering. What you doing? Modeling right away.
Amen.
Good. I never heard, very thankful, I never heard my parents say, we can't afford that.
Excellent.
Always said, we're going to trust God.
Amen.
God is our source. My dad put in me a love for the Word of God. My mom was, among other things, intercessor and evangelist.
Yeah.
Now, you some of the things, like I say, everything was positive. You got some things you need to work through deliverance from. You know, you grow up classic Pentecostal. You're not sure if God likes you. No, you're not. That's why you get saved every Sunday. Sure. No, we laugh, but thank God for that truth coming to the earth. Oral Roberts. He would say, God is a good God. And I just heard recently, he would say, and the average man, the common man would come along, oh, thank you, but they were most Pentecostals. And he said, the preachers behind me, though, were putting knives in my back because they weren't quite sure if God was good. And the letters he would get nasty letters when he went on TV. You know what they get? From believers. Because you say, today is your day for miracle, and God is a good God. And believers say, how do you know today is going to be a day of miracles? No, really. So you got to work through some stuff. But I'm giving you the positive there. So what was, there's a young man who stood on the stage of history because he had parents who taught him the covenant. Not just the covenant. But a young man was taught to know God. Generational, operating there. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those who are revealed to us belong to our children's children. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. A righteous man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. It's not just money, it's the choices you make. You notice there too, Daniel's belief system defined his behavior. What is a mind set? It's a mind that's set. He had a mind that was set that caused boldness in the way he acted. Do you have a mindset that causes bold action? We need boldness right now.
Yes.
Now this is a big one right here. Daniel, even as a child, this is huge right now, had high level discernment. Think about this. He does not object to being renamed. He does not object to the training. He didn't go, "I didn't vote for you. I'm not doing anything you told me. You stole my family. You're taking all the stuff from the temple. I'm not doing nothing. Word of God says don't compromise." And you know what? He might have been right on some level. He lets himself be renamed. He allows himself to be trained. Where does he draw the line? I'm not going to eat. It was considered a high honor too. You would have thought in that culture, all right, I have a slice of pizza with you, but I'm not going to your Bible study. He's got to discern how he's going to act. God's people, you see this in the life of Jesus. He is not, the more I read about Jesus, the more he astounds me. He's in a teaching seminar. And they go, "Your mother and your brothers are outside." You know, they had his brothers and sisters, they had to be suffering some Dr. Phil stuff already. No, seriously, what's your problem? Our brother's perfect. No, really. What's your problem? Our mom loves him more because he's done everything right. He didn't even go to Hebrew school. Now he's a rabbi. So they're like, "No, watch this. There had to be some angst against Jesus." And so you would have thought he would be like, "Okay, bring him into the green room. I'll be there in a minute. Give him the best seats up front." He goes, "Those who do my will are my family." Abner paraphrase. He's not moved by that. "Lazarus, he's a covenant partner in your ministry, Jesus. He's not doing well. I got to finish the seminar." He's thinking totally different. He's not being governed. Everything is in line with this discernment. I want to give you one definition. You can define discernment obviously a lot of different ways, but here's a definition I think will help you. Discernment is the ability to act in culture according to the wisdom of God that consistently influences and changes the world according to the will of God. Read it again. Discernment is the ability to act in culture according to the wisdom of God that consistently influences and changes the world according to the will of God. I'll do the training. All right, you can call me by that name. You imagine that too? That's kind of, what's he doing? Your name prophetically defines you. You imagine he's like in class and they keep calling by that. "My name is Daniel!" He's like, "Okay, you can call me that, but I'm not eating that stuff." This is so crucial right now. Find out how you're supposed to be acting in the world that you live in. Daniel governed and served his world because he was able to answer the king's problem. What's he doing? His service to the king is based on the character of God. It's That's why I started with that thing of worship. I believe his service is actually an act of worship for the time and the season that he lives in. He is actually bringing answers. He's bringing value to this king without compromising the word of God in his life. And what does it do? It brings him into a place of favor, influence, and breakthrough. Here's the final one in that. He's a child. It's a child. Really difficult situation. Some people think he might have been, you know, the C word. Probably, yeah. Thank you, Adam. Yeah. It's likely that he was. We don't know for sure. Scripture, but it's probably almost impossible in that time that anyone would serve in the king's palace as a foreigner and not do that. And yet he's serving, and God gives him a place of great prominence. His service is an act of worship in the moment that he's in. To receive this word tonight.
Amen.
That was just Daniel chapter 1. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord if this is a book that you're supposed to just keep reading. I've been rereading this book for now, I think in my 5.5 years. I read other things, but I'm constantly in Daniel. I'll start at the beginning. Sometimes I get stuck in Daniel chapter 1. And for weeks on end, I just keep rereading Daniel chapter 1. Sometimes Daniel chapter 4. But I believe that this book gives us great understanding and wisdom for the time and the seasons that we live in. And in the name of Jesus, I bless you to become everything that God has created you to be. I bless you with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I just see like the angel of the Lord just putting oil upon you. I bless you with boldness. I bless you with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I bless you to hear the voice of the Lord. I bless you to encounter the voice of the Lord as never before. I declare to you tonight in the name of Jesus that a door, an open door is opening for you. An open door into the beauty of the Lord, into encounter with the Lord, into an activation of the gifts of the Spirit in your life. I break you free now in the name of Jesus from limitations, struggles, wrong mindsets. Wrong mindsets. Let the spirit of wisdom and revelation expose every false mindset in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's just a release of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So I release that to your life tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Spirit of wisdom. And there's a marking. There's a marking from Jesus. There's a marking of your heart. A fresh consecration of your heart. I bless your heart to be marked by the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.